Joshua chapter number 8 tonight. Joshua chapter 8. I'm going to try my best to be very brief tonight. I've only got seven things. I said that right now because some of you look like you wasn't praying, but you are now. Amen. You're thinking, boy, that 10 o'clock show will be late for it. Amen. Joshua chapter 8. The Bible said, and the Lord, in verse number 1, said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people, I wish you'd underline that in the Bible, all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given it into thy hand. I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Now if you'll turn over to, in the chapter 2, verse number 26, let's read a few verses here. And the Bible said, for Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city, of that city, Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. If God will help us tonight, I want to preach a kind of a part two of a message. You can learn a lot from a pile of rock. This morning, we were looking at the story there of Achan and how that he was stoned and burned with fire and they piled the rock up on him, and how that there was a danger after a great defeat, or a great victory, excuse me. Tonight we're looking at the king of Ai here and how that there is a deliverance after a great defeat. There was a danger after a great victory, but there was a deliverance after a great defeat. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your people. God, I hope they know tonight how much they've encouraged our heart being here for the service, how much the choir, the special, just being able to shake my brother and sister's hands, how much it's meant to me tonight. God, you just reminded me of Sister Marge going home tonight. Came to church, but going home, Lord, with some blood coming out of her nose. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but God, you do. Minister to my sister tonight, I pray. Help her, please. God, as we tonight try to make plans for Bible school, try to make plans for Sunday school, try to make plans for children's church. God, it's overwhelming at times to think of our responsibility that we have before us. But God, we know that you'll help us. We know, God, that if we'll keep our eyes on you, Lord, if we will bind together in a spirit of Christian love and unity, God, we can get this task finished for the glory of God. Now, I pray now, Father, that you'll help us tonight in the Word of God. Bless our Father, this lady by the name of Sherry. God, give her peace. The lady I met last week, Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless her, Lord, and the lung transplant, the problems going on in her life. Brother Randy, God, and Sister Donna, would you bless them? Brother Kenny, God, I pray you just draw so near to him this week. God, I pray that you'd give him an open door, an opportunity, Lord, to say a word for Jesus while he's over there. There may be somebody, Lord, that was willing to lay their life down for our freedoms, that's never understood that Jesus laid his life down so we can be free from sin. I pray, God, you'd use him. Help Sister Jenna, Lord, the things going on in her back. Help us tonight to honor you in this service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Several things tonight that I want to look at. I want to say this tonight. Israel was defeated. We read that this morning in the text in chapter number 7. 36 men died. They ran from the enemy with their tail tucked between their legs. Then they obeyed God in dealing with the sin. Can I tell you something right now? Listen to me carefully. I believe you already know this. But one of the things, one of the hardest things that a Christian will ever do is deal with the sin in their own life. We want to excuse it. Listen to me. We'll never have that closeness that God wants us to have with him until we deal with the sin that's in our life. I'm telling you, sometimes it can be there and you don't even know it's there. Say amen. That's why David learned. He said, search me, O God. Try me. Know my thoughts. I believe every sin was once a thought. Those thoughts turn into deeds if we're not careful. Amen. And so this morning we saw that heap of stones over Achan, and it reminded us of some things. Tonight we're looking at a heap of stones over the king of Ai. And I believe God wants to remind us of some things. Number one, God wants to remind us of the importance of his presence. You see, Joshua sensed that something was wrong. That's why he fell on his face. That's why he was asking God, God, wouldn't it have been better we just stayed back over yonder? If you'll look with me at chapter number 8 and verse number 1, the Lord said unto Joshua, let me give you this. God didn't just talk to Joshua, but Brother Thurman, Joshua heard what God said. I believe there's times in our life when God is trying his best to talk to us, and we're not hearing what God says. Amen. And so Joshua is once again enjoying the presence of a holy God in his life. I'll say this, and I mean it with all my heart. If you've ever enjoyed the presence of a holy God in your heart and in your life, nothing else will ever satisfy you. There's nothing this world has to offer that will ever take the place of holy communion with a holy God, walking in his presence and knowing that he's there. If you look at chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Lord said unto Joshua, of course Joshua heard. If you go back to chapter number 1, that was chapter 8 verse 1. If you go back to chapter 1 verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. Brother Gary, one of your favorite verses is, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. There's not a one of us tonight that deserves his presence, but how we need his presence tonight that we might defeat the enemy. What's going on here? If you notice, we're talking about learning a lot from a pile of rock. God gave them another chance. I don't know about you tonight, but I wouldn't be standing where I'm standing tonight if he wasn't the God of another chance. Amen. I've blown it more times than I care to talk about tonight. But thank God there's a God in heaven that loves us, that'll forgive us, that'll restore us, that'll put us right back in the battle for the glory of God Almighty. We notice God's presence. We need to know the importance of God's presence. I want to say this tonight. I'm not being critical. But God, we need God to deliver us from learning how to preach without His presence. We need God to deliver us from learning how to pray without His presence. We need to let God deliver us from learning how to teach a Sunday school class without His presence. One of the most important things we need, Brother Ralph, even in the choir, is the presence of a holy God. It makes all the difference in the world when God shows up. The second thing, not only the importance of God's presence, but the importance of God's people. Look at verse number 3. So Joshua arose. What's the next phrase say? And how many? All the people of war. I want to give you something tonight. I hope this will make a little bit of sense to you. But over there in chapter number 7, they sent spies down to Ai. Man's way said this: don't make everybody go. Just send 3,000. You can read it over there. It's in that text where we were this morning. Just send 3,000 down there. That was man's way. And here they come, defeated. 36 of them dead. Send 3,000. I think this is interesting tonight. These 30,000 that are mentioned right here are not only ones that are going. If you go at home, and I don't have time to read it all tonight, but if you study it out, we're actually going to get into this in a moment. God had a plan. It was not just 30,000, but this is the ones the Bible said here, all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. What God is going to do, this gets into the next point in the message. There's still something I want to say about this, but God has a plan. God's going to send Joshua down there in the valley. And the king of Ai, he's going to think, well, it's just like it was the last time. We'll just go get them. But God has a distinct plan. God has a way to lure them out of the city. And then God has laid an ambush that he's going to go in and take the city. They're going to look behind them and the city's going to be on fire. And then they're going to be sandwiched between Israelites. And God is going to give them a great victory. I want to say this. We don't ever need to forget this. God's work always needs to be done God's way. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, they followed the plan of God. I believe with all of my heart. I was reading this last night. God chose out 30,000 men. Think about this. Well, Joshua chose out 30,000 men. Brother Steve, I don't know where this come from other than in my mind. I was praying and studying. I thought about something. I'm real good at math. I told you that this morning. I'm not much at English. But 30,000, if I'm not mistaken, would be 10 times 3,000. And automatically, my mind went to the book of Daniel. Daniel stood with purpose in his heart for God. He wouldn't eat and defile himself with the king's meat. And the word of God said they found Daniel to be 10 times better. Those two scriptures might not relate to one another, but I'm going to tell you, you cannot improve upon God's way. It's always better than the way of the world. There's God's plan. In verse number 2, we discussed it. Go and read all the way down through, probably about verse 25 or 26. It's very important. God had a plan. You know what I believe? God has a plan for your Sunday school class. God has a plan for our church. God has a plan for the Bible school. I sure will be glad when He lets me in on it. But I know He's got one. Amen? Brother Steve, I don't know how this is going to work out, but if we've only got 3 nights, I mean, I'm just thinking out loud. That's what always gets me in trouble. Kind of like the first time I attended a Christmas play here, I got up and said, you know what? I think we'll do it again. You remember that? Some of you will never forget that. Some of you will never let me forget it. Oh, work schedules had to be jumbled up and everything like that. But you know what I think? I can see something like this. I can see 3 nights of solid Bible school We don't need to take with only three nights that third night and do the program that night. I could see something like 10:30 or 11 o'clock on Saturday morning doing a little program and then see a great big picnic lunch out there. I could maybe see something that you bring in here for the little ones to jump in or something like that. Amen. Brother John, you can't get in it. Amen. It's got to be for the little ones. Amen. But we could have us a picnic. And then Brother Rick, while all of us are picnicking and having a great time, you and Chance can tear this stage down. Amen. Amen. Boy, I got a plan already. It's coming together. Amen. I hope he ain't carrying tonight. I'm fixing to get shot if he is. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, I want it to be special. We missed last year. I want it to be so special. They're worth it. Are they not worth it? Yes, it'll take work. Yes, it'll take planning. But thank God they're worth it. Amen. The little ones are worth it. Watch this now. Getting ahead of myself. God's provision. We need to see the importance of God's presence, the importance of God's people, the importance of God's plan. But then look at God's provision. Look at verse 27. The Bible said, only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves according unto the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. If Achan would have just waited on the Lord, God told him at Jericho, don't take of the spoil. It's a curse. Bring the silver, bring the gold into the treasury. The spoil is a curse. If he would have just waited on God. How many of us have been down the road far enough to know there's been times in our life we did not wait on God? And it'll always get you in trouble. One of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life is wait on the Lord. God has a provision waiting for those that will wait on the Lord. We're doing good, aren't we? Let's go to verse 30. Not only do we see the importance when we learn from this pile of rock of God's presence, God's people, God's plan, God's provision, but I see the importance of God's peace. We're learning a lot from a pile of rock. Look in verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord. Listen to me tonight, I'm not being critical, but you know what some of us needs to do? We need to build an altar. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something. Listen tonight. We'll never have any more power than what comes from the altar where we kneel before a holy God and acknowledge that we can't do it without him. But there's nothing that we can't do with him. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You say, Pastor, where did you get peace? Look at Moses. Look in verse 31. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man lifted up any iron. And they offered thereupon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. How many believes, beloved, that in the hearts and lives of the children of Israel, when that king was hung and that king was taken down and they heaped up that pile of rocks over him, there was a great deal of peace. And they're no longer thinking, would to God we'd be back over there in the wilderness. But they're thinking now, thank God we crossed the river. Thank God we faced the enemy. Thank God he's given the victory. Amen. There's a peace that passes all understanding that comes into their heart and into their life. The next thing we see as we learn from this pile of rock is the importance of God's precepts. I want you to see this tonight. I don't know that I ever picked up on it. Look in verse 32. I know I never picked up on it till yesterday evening. And he, that would be Joshua, wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses. How many's glad you've got a copy in your hands of the law of God? This is the precepts of a holy God. This is His Word. It's what He's teaching. The Bible said, and He wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which He wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. I think that's wonderful. You know what Joshua's saying? Now God has given us another chance, and God has given us the victory. This is all happening after that defeat. Now God has given us deliverance. We don't need to forget where it comes from. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God, beloved, will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the word of God. Prayer will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from prayer. The word of God said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do y'all believe that tonight? I know it. I believe, Brother John, that's what you're talking about when you said this. There's times when you pray, and then there's times when you pray. There's times when we don't know whether our prayer's getting any higher than the ceiling. And there's other times you think if you get any closer, you're going to take Him by the hand. God's precepts. Let's look on here. The Bible said, and all Israel and their elders and officers, their judges, stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger and he that was born among them. Half of them over against Gerizim and half of them over against Mount Ebal. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, had command, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. Watch this. And afterward, he read. What's that next word? What did he read? He read all the words of the law. Look at this. Boy, this helped me, Brother Steve. That young preacher, Timothy. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. With all longsuffering and doctrine. Here in the Word of God, the Bible said, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and... You know what our problem is this generation? We want to tiptoe through the tulips of the Bible. Pick out the sweet stuff and preach it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God's men and God's teachers are going to preach it all. Joshua was God's man. He didn't just point out the blessings. He didn't just point out the positive posts, Brother Larry, on that battery. He pointed out there's a negative post too. And you got to have them both to have any power. If one or the other gets corroded, it won't start. There's got to be a balance in the Word of God. The Bible said the whole counsel of God. We need that. Your youngin' might like what some of them cereals called Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I like that one. Captain Crunch. That used to be one of mine. Amen. Captain Crunch. But I'm going to tell you what right now, if you're any kind of parent at all, they're not going to live on Captain Crunch. It's pure sugar. There's going to have to be a balance. There's going to have to be a banana in there somewhere and an apple in there somewhere. There's going to have to be some vegetables in there somewhere. Amen. And in our lives, God knows it takes a balanced diet of the Word of God. It can't always be the positive, 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 positive. One man said the power of positive stinking. Sometimes there's some negative. that needs to be dealt with. And so the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel. That took some time. That took some determination. Joshua was determined. We're not going to forget who gave us the victory at Jericho. We're not going to forget that God gave us another chance and who gave us the victory at Ai. This heap of stones, this pile of rocks, is teaching us something. The last thing tonight, we've looked at the importance of God's presence, of God's people, of God's plan, God's provision, God's peace, and God's precepts. But I want you to see the importance tonight of God's purpose. Are we going to have Bible school just to have a Bible school? Are we going to have Sunday school just to have a Sunday school just because it's something we've always done? Notice what the Bible said in the last part of chapter number 8 and verse 35. He read, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel with the women. You see, it wasn't just the men of war. Listen to me carefully. The purpose of this chapter is not just for the men of war. They've got wives at home. They've got little ones at home. The Word of God said here, with the women and the little ones. Watch this now. God's not done yet. God has a purpose in the home, a purpose in the family. Among the children of Israel, it's not just about the men of war. They've got wives and they've got children. Watch this. And the strangers. What about that? There's some people that had probably never heard, Sister Diana, the Word of God until they heard it that day. God wants everybody to hear the Word of God. And the strangers that were conversant among them. That means they could understand and converse back and forth with the children of Israel. They could understand what Joshua was saying. Tonight, God's purpose in us being here is to bring honor and glory to Him. I don't know of a way any better that we could bring honor and glory to Him than to live in victory, live in His Word. Watch this. Live for others. If every Sunday school teacher would find you a place of prayer and say, God, I ain't doing this for me. I'm doing it for them youngins. Would you use me? If all of our Bible school workers would just find us a place of prayer and say, yes, God, we want to have a great Bible school. But not somebody, so somebody would say, we had a great Bible school, but God, so the children would understand that we love them and that you love them. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. That window to make a mark in their life is very small. And it may look like you looked at my life, you would have thought, boy, that didn't do a bit of good for that boy to ride the bus. It didn't do a bit of good for that boy. But you just wait on God. He takes them little seeds that that giant of a Sunday school teacher I sat under. You didn't misbehave in his class. He'd jerk a knot in your tail. How many knows what I just said? Brother Steve, I don't think he ever called for the pastor. I know he didn't. He didn't have to. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. He knocked on my heart. I mean, on my door of my apartment. Later, God knocked at my heart. Only two men in my entire life have knocked on my door with the truth, and it was the same two men. Howard Mitchell, and I can't remember the other man's name. I can remember Mr. Whiteley's name, Brother Kenny, Brother Michael that drove the bus. I can remember them. Brother John, you talked the other night about motive. I think their motive was right. I tell you why I think that. I saw the tears when they found out God had saved me and that God had called me to preach the Word of God. I'm sure the devil told them time and time and time again, that bull never amounts to nothing. And I ain't much. But what I am by the grace of God. Amen. I appreciate tonight God letting us understand His purpose. He has a reason for us being here on this hill. He ain't done with us. You say, how do you know He ain't done with us? We're still here. When He gets done with us, I'm going to hear a call. Amen. I might go on the big load. I might go on the little load. Main thing is, I'm going. When He calls, amen. I'm going when He calls. How many's glad you come tonight? How many learned anything from a pile of rocks today? I appreciate that. I really do. Our Father tonight, please encourage our people. Help them to know tonight, Lord, how much they've encouraged me. Encourage our hearts together, Lord. Lord, I know that even at times when there's a great defeat in our life, God, You can turn it around. Get us back in that book. Get us back on our knees. Get us back, our Lord, to realizing our purpose, our wives, our little ones, the strangers. I think about Troy, Lord. No Bible background, no Bible knowledge, not even sure there's a heaven. God, You can let him know in his heart. The wages of sin is death. You can help him to know there is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. Now I pray, dear Father, tonight that each one that's here would leave this building tonight, understanding tonight, our Father, the need of Your presence in our lives. Help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name.